Blog Talk Radio.
Of a Pure Heart Ministries. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott, and I'd like to welcome you and thank you for joining us on this evening. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, 2013. Yes, we're March the 13th, 3 months into 2013. Amen. God bless you, everyone. And tonight, we'd like to welcome you to our broadcast, and we'd like to welcome Dr. Evelyn Murray Drayton, who's going to be talking to us tonight about her new book entitled And Suddenly. So welcome, Dr. Drayton, to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries. Hello.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me on your show, Sister Teresa. It's such an honor, and I'm just excited to hear what God's going to say through our lips today.
Amen, amen. And before we start, I'm going to dial this number so my husband can get on the line. But we're going to pray before we start the broadcast. 1, 3, 2, 3. I can't think and talk at the same time. But I'm going to call my call the number so my husband can get on the line as well. But we're going to pray, and we're going to just ask God to come in and minister to us, because we all need to be ministered to. And I'm just excited because I know the Lord has a word for me. I'm taking this thing personally. I know he has a word for me. And I'm sure that he has a word for those who will be listening live and those who will be listening in the archives as well. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before your presence to say thank you, Lord. Father, we come before your presence, oh God, to offer praise and thanksgiving unto you. And we bless your name, Almighty God. Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to be on Blog Talk Radio tonight to minister to your people. Father, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will just come and take over, Lord God, and bless us and give us what it is that we need to hear, Lord God. And, Father, we just thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up Dr. Evelyn Drayton Murray. We thank you for her tonight, Lord God. We bless you for her, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the works that you have given her to produce, Lord God, so that we might be brought out, Lord God, so that we might be delivered, Lord God. And we just glorify you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, God, I just thank you, Lord God, for every ear that's going to hear tonight, Lord God. Father, we pray that what we hear, Lord God, will fall on good ground, Lord God, and the words that we hear, Lord God, that we will go out, Lord, and reproduce it, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you for it tonight, Lord God, and I bless you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We welcome your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We welcome the move of God tonight, Lord God. We welcome you to do whatever you want to do on this broadcast tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we decree that you might increase, Lord God, and we lift you up and give you the glory tonight, Lord God, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, everybody, we have Dr. Evelyn Murray Drayton, and I know I always say it the wrong way. I always say Evelyn Drayton Murray, but it's Evelyn Murray Drayton. And we just thank God for this prolific author that we have with us tonight. And I'm just going to read you some of the titles of her books. Watermelon Faith, she has. And these books you can go and purchase. I believe they're all on Amazon.com.
That's correct.
All right. And you guys can go to Amazon.com. And you can also go to www.evelyndrayton.org and look at her website and also look at her book. She has Watermelon Faith, I Had to Die, Exposing Witchcraft in the Church. That's a deep one right there. Sweet Success After Bitter Defeat. Silent Speaker. Another one is called Feathered Wisdom. Beyond Our Scars. I have that book, and I want to read a little excerpt out of that. I have a CD called Don't Burn Down My Bridge, and the song that we had at the beginning of the broadcast was actually Dr. Evelyn Murray Drayton singing that song, Don't Burn Down My Bridge. And then her newest book, the one that she's going to be discussing tonight, is called And Suddenly. So we like to present to some, introduce to others, Dr. Evelyn Murray Drayton. Amen. Welcome, Dr. Drayton.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, my sister. And again, I'm excited to be here. I believe God is using us today to help somebody. If not today, tomorrow, somebody will be helped at some point. Otherwise, I don't believe God would have ordained this gathering.
Amen.
And I just thank him for the means that he uses to get his word, to get medicine, so to speak, to his people, those who are really looking for a word from the Lord. And we bless him today.
Amen.
So at this point, do you want me to go on? I didn't know whether you were going to read an excerpt from Beyond Our Scars or...
No, I want you to go ahead and talk to us a little bit about your new book right now.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Well, first of all, I want to, again, thank you for being here. I thank God for this opportunity. I just bless him for giving me the wisdom to know how to pen the words that he has given to me. And the book, And Suddenly, is really intended to be a blessing to God's people, not to replace the Bible at all. We encourage people to continue to read the Word of God.
Yes.
And to obey the Word of God. But sometimes we look for a little what's going on today. I read about what happened in biblical times, but is anybody experiencing anything today?
Mm-hmm.
And encourage me. Anybody who can understand what I'm going through now. So this book is intended to help to inspire you to hold on to the word that God has given you to help strengthen and equip you. And when I say you, I'm talking about the listening audience. And I go back and read it myself for an encouraging word because I know it was divinely inspired. So I thank God that even though we may face challenges, that does not make void the word of God.
Sure doesn't.
When God speaks it, he is able to perform all that he has spoken over our lives. So with that being said, starting from the beginning of the book, looking at the cover, you see lots of balloons there.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the balloons as, I guess, to incite celebration. Celebration of what God has spoken over our lives, knowing for surety that God's word will be fulfilled when he speaks it over our lives. We are to be obedient and listen to what God is saying, listen for what God is saying so that we would know how to move and how to operate. So lots of balloons because, sisters and brothers, if it hasn't happened yet, it surely will. And suddenly, it will happen. So you
and
can get ready
suddenly.
To bring out those balloons and celebrate what God is doing. One thing I do know, and it's in one of the paragraphs in the book, a lot of times when the Lord speaks over our lives, we sometimes, because we are anxious, and I know we're not to be anxious for anything, but sometimes we get anxious when we hear a word spoken of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we say it's a word of confirmation. But I saw somebody posted something on Facebook one time, says, sometimes it's not always about confirmation, but it's about activation, impartation, and revelation. But because sometimes when God speaks to us, we sometimes can miss hearing what God is saying. It's almost like you're outside playing with your sibling and your mother call you and say, Teresa, and you might say, did Mama call me? And the sibling say, oh, Mama call you, go and see what she wants. So the confirmation was, yes, that was your mother's voice that you heard. She did call you. That was your name.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes God speak to us, and we need to be sure, or we want to be sure, that it wasn't just a voice, because the Bible tells that there are many voices out there. So we sometimes want confirmation,
mm-hmm.
and two or three witnesses to bring a surety that, yes, that is what God has spoken. And then again, sometimes a word is spoken over our lives, over our life, and we have to stand in a place with God so that other people will know that God has spoken and that it's his power that's in operation. Take, for example, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, he said, God, I didn't speak this because I know you're not hearing me. I spoke this for the people who are standing around so that they will know. So sometimes God will send you confirmation because some people don't think what you're doing is of God. They think it's just something you're doing. So you have to know, and sometimes we may even doubt ourselves. But God sent the confirmation that, yes, you're in the right place, you're on track, you're on point, you are doing what I have asked you to do. So God will prove himself. And sometimes the words come, it comes to establish us. And people will know that the word you're speaking is the oracle of God's voice. And our latter days can be greater than our beginning. So God sends a prophetic word to help us. And suddenly, some things God has spoken over your life years ago can be manifested, can be fulfilled. But we have to know that we are standing on God's word. We have to know that. Because sometimes, and we know this, that not everybody wants the best for you. And you have to know that what God is saying is for you. And if you don't know that, people will cause you to doubt what God is speaking. Okay? So when you know the facts, you know what God has spoken, I encourage people to write down the prophecies. Because a lot of times the enemy would cause us to doubt it. And you, when you write it down, you can go back and you can compare it to the word of God. Because sometimes people will speak things over your life. Doesn't quite, it may not line up with what the word of God is saying. So we got to be careful even for that. And suddenly is written to encourage the body of Christ, to let you know, to give you hope to what God is saying. And Sister Teresa, for your listeners, if we go back even to the book of Genesis, we know that even then God spoke some things that seemed, all, I would say, almost impossible to happen with Abraham and Sarah. And it goes all the way up, all through the New Testament, even for our lives. What God spoke then, the same God who spoke then is the same God who speaks to us now. So if God, and I'm saying if, it almost sounds like Satan said, if you be the Son of God, but if God spoke then, surely he can speak today. God spoke then, and of a surety, he still speaks today.
Yes.
And suddenly is written to encourage the people of God. So I have a paragraph here. So it is true that we prophesy in part, and it is also true that even the part that is spoken can be unintentionally miss the mark. You can miss the mark sometimes if you're not in tune and hearing what God is saying. So that's why I said write down the prophecy. Be sure it lines up with the word of God, because the person who is prophesying to you sometimes is also human and have to know where they stand. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, and that's why a lot of times the false prophecy is all in. Can present itself, because just because somebody have prophet beside their name or title, that does not mean that they're hearing from God and speaking the oracle of God.
You better say that again.
Yeah. There are some chapters in the book. I'm just going to read the chapters right now. Chapter 1 says, waiting for your promise. Chapter 2, standing on God's word. Chapter 3, it's not about you. Chapter 4, my enemies drove me to drinking. Oh, I am not going to tell you about that chapter. You got to get the book and got to read it.
Chapter 5, I like that
pain
chapter.
Has come. And chapter 6, this is your season. And, of course, chapter 7, prophecies in the making.
Okay.
A lot of people, when they go to that chapter, my enemies drove me to drinking. First of all, let me just I'm gonna highlight that briefly. I have never drank liquor. Just wanted y'all to know that. But I just excuse me, I was trying to catch a mailman there. But anyhow, Sister Teresa, prophecies, let me tell you, I can't tell you how excited I am about what God is doing through the prophetic, but the chapter that I talk about, the enemies drove me to drinking. Don't want to talk a lot about that, but even with the prophetic, there can be enemies surrounding you who can tell you something contrary to what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And get you off track. And we don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the chapters. But in the book, there's a prophetic word that any of your listeners, anyone who is listening to this broadcast, they will find themselves somewhere in the prophecy that is in the back of this book. I'm telling you. And I also list like 12 different situations, and it's called words that help to sustain me during my dry season. So I list some things that God used other people to prophesy over my life that helped to get me through some down days, I would say, in my life. And God is good like that. He loves us like that.
Yes.
He loves us so much. He will pick somebody up from Kalamazoo and bring them right here where I am to get a word, to speak a word into my life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to go and look for that prophet. God will find me.
Yes.
And I thank him for how he uses his people. And, yes, the book is called And Suddenly. It doesn't necessarily talk about prophecy throughout the book. I meant every page. But let me tell you, I give you different examples. I use biblical references to back up what I'm saying, because there are so many people who have received a word from the Lord. Yes, they have. Was not a false prophecy. And
mm-hmm.
some of it seems so far-fetched, like when God told Sarah she was going to have a baby as old as she was. She laughed. So if she laughed, don't you know that people around her have, you know, what are they going to do? It just seems so impossible. And there's some things spoken over my life, yes, over my life that seem, I would say, almost impossible based on the situation, the circumstances, the way I saw myself. But the longer I live, I see it developing. I see parts of the puzzle being fitted into place. And I look back over those words that I have written, and I include several of the prophecies in my book. And those who know me today can see the word coming alive even while they read about what God has done or what God has spoken.
Mm-hmm.
So I am the evidence. I am the result of words that came to life through the prophetic.
Amen.
So even for your life, as I speak on this line today, I speak manifestation of the prophetic word over your life. I know that some of it may seem like, God, I don't see this, but it will take on life, Sister Teresa, and I know I'm a guest on your show, but as I stand in my room today, I speak life over the words that were spoken over your life. They shall be manifested.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And a lot of time God bring these words to pass to show the unbelievers
mm-hmm.
what he has spoken was surely his word.
That's right.
I glorify God today. Some people have been waiting for years to see the manifestation of words spoken over their lives. I remember a song somebody wrote that this old mother had been praying for a mountain to be moved in her life, and 14 years later said they moved the whole mountain. That was a physical mountain. They moved the mountain and built a highway through it is the way the song go, I believe. But somebody has been waiting, in some cases more than 14 years. There's, I would say, a good 14 years, some things I have been waiting for. But this year, I am seeing the manifestation of those words. So I say to your listeners, hold on to what God has spoken over your life.
Amen.
Does it seem like something has been holding some things up and you're waiting and you're waiting for a move of God? If you hold on, as the songwriter said, hold on just a little while longer. Everything would be all right. And also included in the book, I mentioned the chapters in the book. There's also a chart in there on page 82, and it's basically just a few columns that I numbered to give you an idea how you can write the, I would say, the specific words that you're hearing from God. For example, if somebody spoke over my life that I were going to open a business, or if maybe yours would be, you know, God's going to fill you with wisdom so that, you know, you would confound the people, some of those who may be doubting you. I'm going to use you in a mighty way. You can record that as one column. And if somebody else speak that same word, just all you have to do is put the date to it and the name of the person. So I give you an idea like that. But and suddenly, I believe, is a right now word from the Lord. And I noticed as people were ministering to me over the past few years, they were using the word suddenly. And as I look on Facebook pages sometimes, I see these prophetess and apostles, and they are using the word suddenly. And I said, wow, Father, I thank you. And he just sent confirmation. Even that's confirmation for me to let me know that I was on point for what God was telling me to write. So we can't let our challenges, we can't let pressures, we can't let these things, discourage us from hearing what God has said to us. So I want the readers to be able to use this book as a teaching tool. Maybe they can share it with somebody else at their church or something like that, for a women's group or whatever, because somebody can be hurting right in our midst. Somebody might be there just to say, you know what, I just need to be sure that was the Lord speaking to me, or that prophecy that I received the other day, I just wonder how, is there somewhere in the Bible maybe I can kind of get a better feeling for what they're talking about. I try to guide you through that. So it's they can use it as a biblical guide and a teaching tool. And the purpose, again, I would say, is to encourage, to uplift, because we have a lot of heartache and pain. There's a lot of disappointment out there. People are looking at what's going on in the economy. But I believe God has equipped me and prepared me to share this book, because I have used the experience over the years. I've endured suffering, heartache, and pain. I, too, have been disappointed and experienced failures. I talk about my trials and my triumphs. And the book you read, Beyond Our Scars, I share some of that. So God can take the very thing that the enemy has targeted to destroy you and use that to advance his kingdom. When the reader reads "and suddenly," I know that whoever reads this book, they will receive a word from the Lord, a word of confirmation, a word of encouragement, a word that will help prepare them, a word that will help equip them to do what God has called them to do. Because I don't believe God, I don't believe God would tell us to do something and then not be able to use it in our lives or in the lives of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
And I know I have talked. I don't want to take all the time and don't give anybody a chance to ask any questions or the opportunity for feedback. I don't mind answering any questions if somebody might have a question about the book.
Oh, honey, are you on the line? I can't hear you. You must be on mute.
Well, while you're trying to...
Wait a minute, I have to put him on the microphone.
Okay.
Oh, why isn't it working? Oh, wait a minute. Okay, honey, are you on the line?
Yes.
All right, we can hear you now.
Very good.
Okay, God bless you, Pastor. How are you?
I'm blessed. How about you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's good to hear your voice on the set today.
Yes, yes, yes. And your teaching was a very good one as far as the content of it and sharing your own personal experiences. Truly, God has brought you from a mighty long way.
Yes,
and
sir.
And your testimony can be an encouragement to so many people, both male and female. It doesn't matter about gender. We all have faced trials and tribulations in moments of decision that we have to make a choice.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you chose the Lord, and he certainly has chose you even from the foundation of the world. You have a great ministry. You have many great days, many great books yet in store for mankind, not just for your own aggrandizement, but rather so that others may be helped by the words and the lessons that you've learned during
Thank
your
you.
Life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Amen. Amen. I really need to get that book so I can read that chapter about the drinking.
God bless the Lord. It's interesting. And I'm getting, you know, when somebody mentioned that, I give you a little hint. Have you ever come up from the altar trying to find your seat?
Yes.
And we weren't drunk as they suppose.
Yes.
Like the day of Pentecost. But that's another little hint that I just gave you. But anyhow, I thank God for the words that came from your husband.
Amen.
God bless you.
I am so encouraged. And when I first started talking, believe it or not, when I first started talking, my doorbell rang, and there was a UPS guy at the door, and I was trying to decide, should I go to the door? Should I stay on the call? But I thank God, because sometimes disruption can take our thoughts.
Uh-huh.
I thank God I was able to stay on the line and talk about the assignment God has given me.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say sometimes when God gives us an assignment, not everybody feels comfortable with that assignment.
That's
sometimes they believe it should have been assigned to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Someone else more talented, somebody else more this, or they are thinking within themselves, I can do it better and I can do that. But when you know that God has given you an assignment, you can expect some type of opposition or challenges or whatever that the enemy may throw your way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that for a surety, you must stick with it. And we can't look for 200 or 300 people to follow us when God gives us an assignment. Sometimes we're put in a place of isolation where you can spend that time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out sometimes that there's so many prophetic word floating around us today, all on the internet, all on Facebook. There are people who are prophesying. But at the same time, there are some people who are not willing to wait. There are some people who are not willing to obey, to put aside their agenda for God's agenda.
Mm.
So they want this microwavable answer to prayer or to fulfill the prophecy. But I find out sometimes that we may have to wait longer than we expect. As a matter of fact, one lady told me, a prophet told me, that she said, Sister Drayton, you're anxious. You want to see these things happen. But let me tell you, sometimes the best pot of stew that you can ever eat is the one that was slow cooked.
Mm.
She also told me, she said, the longer you leave the tea bag in the hot water, the stronger,
it gets. That's right.
So I used those few words I was able to use to help me to be where I am today, to help me. Because those words were encouraging. Think about it. And I was making myself a cup of tea one day, and I thought about it. She said, the longer you leave the tea bag in the water, the stronger it gets. So a lot of times our waiting, we find ourselves becoming stronger. We know what it is to wait. We know what it is to go through a hard time and yet trust in God.
Yes.
I am just so happy today for what the Lord is doing through his people and for his people. And Sister Teresa, I want to say this too. All of my books are written, just as I'm talking in, with simplicity today over the phone, all of my books are written with simplicity so that anybody can pick it up and read it and get an understanding, because I want, you know, as I know, that you can say something, not everybody's going to receive it.
That's right.
You know, or somebody may try to get more out of it than the intent is. But I believe anybody who reads my books can get something out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe it was written with simplicity to encourage, to strengthen, and equip the saints, no matter what their level of spirituality. Okay? I don't have time to try to use big words to impress anybody.
Right.
So the main thing to know is, what is she saying? And I'm inspired by the way Jesus taught. He used parables. He used the seed and the farmer. You know, things that they could relate to then. And we can still relate to things like that. I use situations in my life that people can relate to, even the chapter about my enemies drove me to drinking. When they read that chapter, they'll understand exactly what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, and suddenly, I believe it's a good read. It fits right in to our pocketbooks, you know, without causing any, you know, it's not bulky or anything like that. But yet, it's powerful and full of words of wisdom that will help you to understand, I believe, some issues. A lot of times people have questions about the prophetic and, you know, and what does that mean and how am I to respond. But like I said, we want to first of all be sure it lines up with the Word of God.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I have a question about that too, because, and I don't, I thought this one day, and I still think this, that sometimes I know several people have spoken a word of prophecy over me, and they've said the same things. They don't even know each other, but they've spoken the same things. And I wondered, can somebody actually come to you and prophesy things over your life something that you may even desire, or because somebody spoke that word over your life before, is it a familiar spirit that could come and prophesy the same thing and yet it not be true?
I do believe that can happen. I really do, even though it's a confirmed firm word, because the enemy has an hierarchy as well, okay? So the same way there's God and there are angels, there's Satan and there's demons, okay? There are lion spirits. There are false prophets. There are people who, demonic spirits, who study us. They know what our weaknesses are. They know some things because of things we speak into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's why it's so important that we know the Word of God.
Yes.
That's so important that we know that we have the Holy Spirit. You don't just depend on somebody else's Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that you have God's Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And another thing, we are not to serve God or hear or receive a prophecy based on our feelings.
Right.
Because that can be very deceptive. Because we know by nature, everybody wants to, a little pat on the shoulder sometime, everybody wants to hear a good word, but nobody wants to receive a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a spanking comes, and it's necessary to get us to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody come along and speak something sweet, something tickling to the air, doesn't necessarily mean it's a God-sent word.
That's right.
Yes.
So I believe that.
Excellent question that you ask.
Yeah, I believe that because I've run from prophets now, and that I'm not saying that that's necessarily for everybody to do, but I don't want to, you know, be sitting there and feeling like I'm pulling on this person so that they can give me a word. If it's a word from God, I want God to be able to tell me, and I know for sure that it's God. However, you know, these people that have spoken the same thing over my life, I have just gotten to the point where I believe that it was from God, and I'm just, you know, trying to settle into it, not walk in it yet, but, you know, settle into it. And when it's time, and God's appointed time, then it'll come to pass.
Right.
So that's where I'm at right now.
Oh, I'm sorry. But that goes back to what I said earlier. I think it's good if the little chart that I have, if you record what it is, you can put it in sentence form if you want, or use a key word. And I record those things, and I pray about the prophecies, the main thing I do is search the word. And I know God will give us the desires of our heart, but people miss that few words in front of it. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we want what God has in his hand sometimes, but we don't want to have him. We just want what's in his hand, not him.
Right.
We want what is being given, but not the giver.
Right.
So we have to be careful with that. The book encourages obedience. It encourages you to study the Word of God. And more so, it encourages you to wait patiently.
Mm-hmm.
Patience is, I know the Bible tells us love is kind, love is patient, love is kind. And some of these things we work on. I taught a class one time about our strengths and our weaknesses. Sometimes our weakness may be that we're not patient enough. So if you know that is your weakness, then that's something we need to work on. But it doesn't mean that it can't happen. That can become a strength in your life. But you know, when you know what your weaknesses are and know what your strengths are, you can improve on things that you know, the areas that you're weak in. And sometimes people running for prophecies, that might be a weakness in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're running people down. I don't care what state they go in, they're going to run there hoping that they're called out. And if they're not called out, they go back home disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe that's the way God has set up the gifts to people to pull on the gifts like that, I would say. Because you mentioned a word earlier about the familiar spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be so careful that we don't abuse the gifts and the calling that God has placed on our lives. And some people get to the point so much and so that if they know that they have caught your attention and that you are following them because of that gift that they have, sooner or later you might find out that they are charging you just to give you a word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what some do, they give you part of the word and say, if I had time, I'll finish telling you what God gave me, you know, to keep you hanging on. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To keep following them instead of following God. And that's going on in the body of Christ today.
Too much.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. But sometimes when people feel you pulling on their coattail, they'll give you just enough to drag you a little closer to them. And I hope whoever hears this, and again, I apologize for the slow start in this discussion, but there was a little distraction there. But if people will learn that the same Holy Spirit that's in you is in them, it's the same Holy Spirit, but we understand that he operates differently at different times. Now, I believe that, okay? But some people look for you to operate the same way all the time. If they pick up the phone at 12 o'clock, they want you to give them a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes.
And then if they call later that night, did the Lord say anything else to you about me? Do what? there's more. It's a me thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a chapter in the book says it's not about you. It's about God and his purpose, his plan for your life.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of people being deceived. A lot of time a prophetic word can go through. And, again, I see a lot of it on Facebook. And depending where you are, yes, the word seems so good, and yes, you grab it. But some people don't realize that it may be food for you at this time. And there are some people, when the new year first came in, 2013 came in, all of these new words were coming and everybody was grabbing it, but everybody wanted it in January.
Right.
Nobody waiting for December to come.
Mm-hmm.
See? So I believe we have to be patient in getting all the benefits of all that God is speaking over our lives. And again, I said years ago, there were some things spoken over my life, and I'm seeing the manifestation already, more so this year. And I thank God for it. And when I read the book that I wrote, and suddenly I go back and I said, oh, my God, you know, I wrote this book, and I thank you for using it now to minister to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage the readers, if they would, to pick up a copy of Ann Suddenly or pick up several copies for friends, relatives, again, for women groups, or you can even use it for Bible study if you're talking about prophecy. But again, I said we don't want to replace any book. You know, use it in place of your Bible. You can't replace your Bible for any book.
Sure can't.
But, right. So, and I don't want anybody, some people do that. They just start using these other books instead of the Bible. But it's a good supplemental material for discussion purpose and let people know that God is still real today. Some people look at the Bible as if it's a history book. But I say it is very much alive, and the more we read it, it seems the more alive it becomes in us, in the reader.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I thank God for the Word being real to me, being alive in me. And
yes.
That's why we want people to see Jesus in us, and that's
yes.
how they see him in us, because he is the Word.
Yes, he is.
Word in us is manifested on the outside. Do you
yes.
agree with that?
I really do, and you can tell I have a little bit of excitement in my voice when you just said that, because last night I had the opportunity to teach Bible study, and God was teaching me last night, and he gave me John 6:63, and it said, "It's the Spirit that quickeneth."
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And Jesus goes on to say, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So it's just confirming what the Lord was showing me last night. You're saying the same thing. You know, it's
yeah.
the Word of God, and nothing can replace the Word of God. I don't care how anointed it is. The Word of God is God. The Word of God is Spirit, and it's life. And God gives us enhancements. He does give us things, other things to read to help us, because there are several books that I read and encourage other people to read as well. But
mm-hmm.
the Word of God is the final authority. The Word of God is Spirit and life. And, you know, we really need to understand that. But God does give people gifts and talents. So if he gives you gifts and talents, and he gives you that, you know, to write those books, he's given it to you to write them for a reason, as a supplement, as an enhancement. Not, like you said, and I'm glad that you say that, not to take away from the Bible, not to use that instead of the Bible. But,
exactly.
as, you know, as an agreement with the Bible, something, a companion to the Bible. And, you know, I'm holding one of your books in my hands right now, and it's called Beyond Our Scars. And, you know, this book, so it was some of the parts of these books was like you were talking about my life. It was so intertwined in my life, some of it was, that I had to put it down. I couldn't read it anymore because it was painful reading about the scars. But you have chapter 3 here. It says, "Can scars work together for good?" And again, the book that I'm referencing right now was called Beyond Our Scars. And again, it's by Dr. Evelyn Murray Drayton. And I actually have it in my hand right now. And like you said earlier, your books are easy read. It's not, you know, $100 words in here that nobody can understand. But, you know, it's really a good read, and I would encourage people to read. And we might use it one day, if you allow us to, on the broadcast to, you know, do our book club kind of thing and go ahead and read it.
Sure.
Because
it was
lot
an
of
honor
people.
For me to, for you all to do it. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and I have to make sure, my sister, she's on the line, so I will have to make sure that she gets it too, because usually if I get a book, I encourage her to get a book to read it too.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, you know, learn together and go through these things together. But, you know, it's cool.
Right.
And
the books are downloadable in ebook form.
Oh, are they? Okay, that's good.
And maybe not all of them. Let me see, at least 4 out of the 7 for sure.
Okay.
But I don't know whether they have all been converted to ebook yet. But the one you're talking about now and the And Suddenly. And also the book, I had to die exposing witchcraft in the church. That's available for ebook as well.
Yeah,
but when you mention Beyond Our Scars, it's this coming Friday, I believe. I'm supposed to be going to it's not a conference, but maybe just, I'm going to say a group meeting. There's a lady there who was born with no arms, and you probably have heard about her. I'm not sure, and her name just won't come to my mind right now. But she wrote a book, Armless but Dangerous. And
uh-oh.
It's my understanding that she penned that book with her toes.
Wow.
Yeah. So your scars, God can use you where you are with what you have. So I encourage the readers to not look at the situation, but look at God. And that's what I encourage with the book, And Suddenly. We can't look at our situation and look at God, too. One of them's going to kind of get our focus away from where we need to be headed.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to keep our eyes on the prize. When God has spoken a word over our life, he will surely bring it to pass.
Yes,
we
will.
We must know that it's God. Now, a lot of times we want things in our lives because we see other people with it.
Mm-hmm. The Joneses trying to keep up with them and don't know what they had to go through to get it.
That's it. So a prophetic word, those who it belonged to will surely know that it belonged to them.
Yes.
If that word was spoken to me, and people like to use material things, and I'm going to say this just for that sake. If the Lord spoke and say, somebody in here is going to get a brand new car, it may be that somebody's going to give it to you. But if I go out there and try to claim it and go and get it and only have $100 to put down on it and don't have any money later on to make the monthly payment, and then you're going to go and tell somebody, God told me to get this car?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are doing.
And you know what? And that's true. But you know what? It came to my mind about a few minutes ago. I want my And Suddenly when it's time for my And Suddenly. I don't want somebody else's And Suddenly. I want mine. Because,
All right. You
know, I've looked at a lot of ministries, and I still want to get back to Beyond Our Scars. But I looked at a lot of ministries, and I hear people prophesying over everybody in the church. You got 5,000 members in the church, and Lord said, and suddenly it's going to happen today. That's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody at that time. A lot of times people say, well, I grabbed onto faith, and I don't try to discourage anybody from their faith. According to your faith, be it unto you. But here's what I'm saying. Some people put themselves in situation, and they look for things to bring them out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the things that are going to bring you out of your situation. Sometimes your disobedience put you in the place where you are, and a new car is not going to solve that problem.
Mm-mm. A new house won't
solve that problem.
No, we should be looking for spiritual things. I mean, of course, we are living in a natural world, so there are things that we do need in the natural, but we've gotten so caught up in a prosperity teaching that's what people are looking for. That's why people chase after prophets a lot, because they're looking for things in the natural, when we mm-hmm. should be actually looking for things in the spirit. You know, in the spiritual realm, I'm looking for more wisdom and knowledge and understanding
mm-hmm.
from God. This is what I'm looking for, because although God may bless me with material things, and he has, those things, they can't profit me in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They can't profit me in the spirit. What good am I? I could have a beautiful car. I could have, you know, the Escalade or the Mercedes or BMW, whatever the case is. I could have a fabulous, you know, home and all of that stuff. But if I don't have anything in the spiritual realm, you know, what is that profiting me? not profiting me anything in the spirit. And this is what I'm looking for. This is why I said earlier that I don't chase prophets anymore, because I'm not looking for that stuff anymore. I'm not looking for them to call me out and say, God said he's going to bless you with this and he's going to bless you with that. I want God to tell me whatever he wants to tell me that pertains to me spiritually. If he wants to tell me something in the natural, that's an added benefit. I'm not going to say, God, don't do that. But, you know, we're at a point in time. It's 2013. We need to be getting on with spiritual things. We need to be looking to God to equip us that we need in the spiritual realm, not only for ourselves, but for other people. Because, today is people are dying all around us. They're dying young. They're dying old. They're dying middle age. You know, kids, babies getting killed. I just saw on the news yesterday, you know, people being killed. You know, just crazy stuff going on. And we need to attend to the things in the spirit. We gotta forsake stuff and make sure that, you know, our spiritual life is okay, because when Jesus comes back, now that's not gonna be the time to be trying to get ourselves together. We need to be getting, you know, what we gotta do now.
Right.
You know, spiritually, instead of waiting. I want somebody to I want the Lord to speak to me. When the Lord spoke to me last night, I had such a good time. Just God ministering to me last night, it was just awesome. Like, it's not even explainable. But we need to, you know, really seek the things in the spiritual, you know, seek the things that are above. The Bible tells us to do that anyway. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you.
And when you mention that, my mind goes to St. Luke chapter 4, where the devil was talking to Jesus, and he said, all this power will I you, and the glory of them. For these, you know, he said that power and that glory was given to him, and he can give it to whoever he wants to. So the point I wanted to make with that, just because somebody have things, that doesn't mean that they have such a good relationship with God that he blessed them with all these things.
Absolutely.
And we understand the words, all things come of thee, O Lord, and all thine own. We understand that. But what I am saying, people who go out there and steal from others, they have things, but it's how are you getting those things? And when you get them, what did you have to do to get them? That, because you have things, does not mean that you have a relationship with God.
Amen. And we're actually going to, maybe you can come on that night, and we're going to talk about that on a broadcast, because my husband and I discussed this a lot. The Bible does say that God reigns on the just and the unjust. You know, when we get up every day, when the sinner gets up and the saint gets up, the sun is going to shine on both of them.
Right.
Okay? God's not going to let the sun shine on the saint and not on the sinner. When everybody gets up, the sun shines on everybody. So just because the sun is shining, or just because we're getting blessed, that doesn't mean that we're okay and we're cool with God. You
that's,
know, it just
that's my point. Yeah.
Yeah. If he chooses to bless us, then he chooses to bless us. But that doesn't mean that, oh, well, God is, you know, I'm prosperous now, so God is okay with me. It doesn't necessarily mean that. You know,
right.
we gotta make sure that we evaluate ourselves and make sure we evaluate our motives and everything that we do, because we can say what we want to say with our mouths, Dr. Drayton. We can say what we wanna say with our mouth, but God knows our heart. He knows our heart in every single thing we do. He knows the motive behind every single thing we do. We can lie to people, but we cannot lie to God.
That's
you know, we
right.
can fool
That's
people,
right.
but we can never fool God. God is never, he's not slow. God, we can't fool him. We can't trip him up. He is God. He is all knowing. He is all seeing. He is everywhere at all at the same time. So we can't pull the wool over his eyes on no day of the week. And when we understand that, you know, and acknowledge that and remember that, oh, you know what, I said this, but God knows this about me. You know, we can have alphabets before our name and after our name, but God still knows our heart. We can write books on top of books on top of books. We can be on Blog Talk Radio 2, 3, 5 times a week, whatever the case is. That doesn't mean anything. God knows our heart.
That's
and that's,
right.
That's what God wants. He wants us to understand our own hearts. People say, and my husband says this all the time, and I love it when he says it. He says, people always say, God knows my heart. You're right. He does know your heart. He really
right.
does know your heart. Oh, well, God knows that. He knows my heart, and I can't stop doing this, and I can't stop doing this because he knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart. He knows you don't want to stop doing what you're doing.
Right. I say in the book, suddenly, I talk about relationship. Relationship is very important when we're waiting to see the manifestation of a promise in our life. It's not, you know, we were talking about things, you know. That does not mean anything when you're establishing your relationship with the Lord. There are people who seem to have everything but God.
Everything
you
but
know?
God. Uh-huh. Just
again,
messed up.
Again, raining on the just and the unjust.
Mm-hmm. The drug dealer, he has his pockets lined. He has money. He has a nice car. He has homes. You know, these drug dealers that's really out there doing the thing, they have things.
Yeah.
Okay? But that doesn't mean anything. And guess what, Dr. Drayton? Those things that they have is not going to keep them out of hell. I don't care how much stuff we have or how many things we have. They can't get us into heaven, and they sure can't keep us out of hell.
That is so true, so true. And I think those who are listening to the broadcast or may possibly listen later on, I pray that, number one, they have a relationship with the Lord. And
yes.
knowing the Word of God is what helped establish or I would say solidify, so to speak, that relationship. There's no way you can have a good relationship with God and not have some Word in you. the Word of God, and I emphasize that in my book. And I also talk about once you hear the Word, what are you going to do with it? What are you
mm-hmm.
going to do about it? Because the Word will show us ourselves. And once we see who we are, we have to agree with God that sin is sin. If we don't agree with that, then we really can't move forward.
That's true. And you know what, Dr. Drayton?
All about.
A relationship is very serious, very, very serious. And I've been, and I'm using air quotes, I've been saved for a long time. Okay, but I've been saved for a long time, but I really haven't had a relationship with God. And I'm learning this relationship thing with God more and more of late. I'm talking about, like, where people just don't matter. I don't want to say that in a bad way, but it's not about pleasing people. It's about pleasing God. I want to please God so much now that it's scaring me, that I really want to please God. You know why? Because God loves me so much. He loves me so much. And this is for people that are listening on the line right now who may be listening later, that God has loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. He sent his son to die. He sent his son to take my sin upon himself, that I don't have to live in sin anymore. He came to destroy the works of the devil. I don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. I don't have to be a slave to what the devil wants anymore. That I can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And I can get a relationship with God and live righteously and holy before him. I can do that. I have to make up my mind to do that. I have to make up my mind to live righteously before God. And that's what all of us have to do, because when we die, when we close our eyes, there's nothing we can do from the grave. There's nothing we can do for the grave. We have to do it now. We have to have a made-up mind now to want to love God back, love him enough to obey him. He's not asking us to get on a physical cross to die, but he is asking us to die daily to our sin. He's asking us to die daily to what we want. Why? Because what we want in the natural cannot please God. The flesh, we can't please God in our flesh. We got to die daily. Paul said, I beat my body under. I keep my body under. Paul, the person that wrote most of the New Testament, he said he had to die daily. He said, I die daily, you know. And this thing called salvation is not just going down to the altar saying, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. No. What does it mean for him to be your Lord that my husband teaches about? What does it mean for him to be your master? And we say a lot of stuff, Dr. Drayton, but we don't live what we say. We don't really have that relationship with God. We say stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can look on Facebook all day and all night, and you will see people posting all kind of stuff about God, praising God. I see this one lady on Facebook, and I promise you, she talks about God so much, and then she turns around and curses. She'll curse you out in a minute. And I'm like, Lord, what is this? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we really have to understand what relationship is. And I tell people, when my husband was wanting me to be his girlfriend, he pulled out all the stops. He did what he had to do to get me to be his girlfriend. He
mm-hmm.
got in a relationship with me. He talked to me day in and day out. We were on the phone hour after hour after hour talking to each other all night long, talking to each other, because we were forging a relationship. And that's the same thing we got to do with God. We got to forge a relationship with him. We have to spend time with him. You know, you spend time with somebody you like. You spend time with somebody you love. But if you don't really like them or love them, you're not going to spend time with them.
Right.
You know, and then on the other side of that is, too, we want God to do stuff for us, but we don't want to do anything for him.
Exactly.
You know, we don't want to come out of sin. We want God to bless us in our mess. We still want God to approve us in our mess. Oh, God, my life is full of hell right now. My life is this and my life is that. God, I want you to bless me and I want you to get me out of this. I want you. But then we turn right around after he does it in his graciousness. Okay, after he does it and go right back to doing the same old stupid stuff that we were doing before. And then when the stuff comes back up again, we want God to deliver us again. But we don't want to submit to him. We don't want to surrender to him. We don't want to give our lives over to him. But it's not reciprocal. You understand what I'm saying?
Right,
we do
right.
It's a one-sided relationship.
Exactly.
It's one-sided. And God is God. Don't you know he has feelings too? God has feelings too.
Yeah.
If he didn't, he couldn't be a God of love. But that's another broadcast, so let me stop. let me stop right here because we know.
Sometimes we are hurt when we see people misusing or abusing God's people or manipulating with his word. So when we cry, now just think, if we cry, surely God cries.
Yes, he does.
Because we feel what he feels.
Mm-hmm. And you know, your book about the scars, Beyond the Scars, you went through some crazy stuff.
Yes.
And I don't want to give away so much of it, but if you guys can get these books, at least I only know about Beyond the Scars because this is one that I've read, and I didn't read all of it, but I read a lot of it. And suddenly, I would really encourage you to get these books, to go to Amazon.com and get these books. But it's a lot of people out here hurting, Dr. Drayton, that are hurting and have been hurt in church. They've been hurt in church, out of church. And this book, I believe, can help people because chapter 3, you have, Can Scars Work Together for Good? Can scars, some people don't want scars. I know I don't like scars, and you know, a person having lupus, I have scars on my face, and sometimes I don't like people to look at my face because of the scars. But scars don't always have to be something bad. They can be a reminder of somewhere God brought you from, and you have the victory of that thing. But in chapter 3, you said a tiny scar can make some people scared or terrified. And you said, I believe Satan was allowed to come my way, not to totally destroy me, but to make me a better instrument in God's hand.
Yes.
You know, and I really like that statement right there, that where you said, I believe Satan was allowed to come my way, not to totally destroy me, but to make me a better instrument in God's hand.
Yes. You know, that's what I was talking about earlier, that some things the enemy tried to send our way to destroy us. His intent is to destroy us. Okay, but my mind goes back to where God told Satan, you touch his body, you know, but his soul is mine, so to speak, is what he was saying.
Can't
so
take his life.
My soul belonged to God. But I believe Satan was permitted to attack me, but I learned so much. I thank God. And sometimes it's hard to thank God when you're going through.
Mm-hmm,
but we can be thankful in all things. Not that we are thanking God for the trials that come our way. Sometimes we don't look at it like that. But because of what I went through, I believe God used it and fine-tuned me so that he can use me to be more effective, to give me a greater platform to talk about him and his goodness. I could have let my scars kill me, or I can let it elevate me to do what God has called me to do, because he tells us in his word that he won't withhold any good thing from us.
From them that walk uprightly.
That's okay. So we, you see the point I'm at, we grab parts of sentences, parts of statements, okay? We commit our way to the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. So we pull out certain words, but we let go certain parts that cause us to make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
We want God to be committed, but
yes,
we want to make null the contract, because
mm-hmm.
a contract is normally between at least two people.
Right.
Even though it could be more, but two people, God and you. So we want God to do his part, but we go AWOL when time to do our part.
Mm-hmm. Yep. AWOL.
Yeah.
Yep, and you have another part, and this is in the same chapter, actually on the same page.
Okay.
And you say, I thank God for my scars. I'm grateful that God allowed me to be stretched and better prepared to serve the body of Christ. I believe that nothing can happen to me unless God allows it. And if he allows it, then all things in the end will work out for my good. He definitely blessed Job in the end. And the reason why I wanted to read that is because sometimes we go through stuff in our lives, and sometimes we feel so stretched, and we feel so, God, why are you allowing this? Why is this happening? Why? I've been through that myself and asked God, you know, on many occasions, God, why? Like, am I such a bad person that you're allowing me to go through this? What did I do to deserve having to go through this? I've questioned God. I know people who've questioned God. And in human nature, we would do that. But then in retrospect, you know, they say hindsight is 100%. Now that I look back over my life, though I went through those scars, I went through those things that caused the scars, okay, I look back at them now and I can say, God, you can use this for your glory. You can use this for women's ministry. You can use this for somebody to hear my testimony, to know that they too can get through it if they lean and depend on God. Some of the stuff I went through, I didn't lean and depend on God. God was just merciful to me and
uh-huh.
brought me through it. I ain't going to sit here and lie and say, I was trusting and believing in God, because I was not. I was telling
uh-huh.
God off. And some of the stuff that I went through, I wasn't even born again. I wasn't born again. I was a little girl. I was a young woman. You know, some things I went through, the devastating things that I went through, I wasn't really walking in the Lord. I was out there doing my thing. But for whatever, you know, for such a time as this, I'm not going to say for whatever reason, but for such a time as this, God allowed me to go through that so that I can be, like you said, a better instrument in the body of Christ. I can tell people, not glorifying what I went through, but I can tell people, look, you're going through this right now, but I can tell you that God can bring you through it. God can bring, and I can, you know, my sister's in the chat room, so she understands what I'm saying, and my husband's on the line as well, that I went through, on Facebook last week, I believe it was, I put a testimony on there that I don't have cancer. The doctor was looking for cancer in my belly, and they did a biopsy, and it turns out that it's not cancer, and I praise God for that. But right after I got that report from the doctor about not having cancer, I got a report right after that from the doctor that was not favorable at all.
Mm.
You know, right after that, Dr. Drayton, and it was for, I was I was okay for a moment, and then I just got devastated, and I cried. I literally cried for like 3 hours because I was like, Lord, I just got this victory of no cancer, and that's a great victory. And then right behind that, something else came. But these things come for me, but for other people, to let other people know, too, that, you know, God is with you. God can help you through these things. And God has given us tears to cry. He gave us these tear ducts for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, he gave us these tears for us to use them so we can cry, you know, when we're upset. We can cry when we're happy. But God gave us these tears, but he doesn't ever want us to go into a point where we're so depressed, you know, that we go into this dark area and we don't want to, you know, come out of it. Because I've been there, too. But I can tell you about that, Dr. Drayton. I can tell so-and-so about that yes, I was in such a deep depression, but God. I can tell you that. Even in my foolishness, but God. I can tell you that God has been so merciful to me. He's had so much patience with me. I can tell you that. But I can also tell you that if you trust God, if you believe God with all your heart, He will bring you through. He will bring you through. But if I didn't have those scars, I couldn't tell you. If I never had a baby, I couldn't tell you how to have a baby.
Well, you know, the mere fact that you're on this Blog Talk Radio, you have a testimony to share. Now, if you didn't go through some things, you would probably have to search for something to say even right now. But you've already been through that. You know what you're talking about. And I would even say this. What you're going through, what you have been through, God knows Evelyn Drayton may not be able to take it. So he gave it to you. You're a strong sister who can do that. He has equipped to go through that. So we would be defeating ourselves to look at how or to compare ourselves with each other.
Mm-hmm.
God has so equipped you to go through what you're going through. He equipped me to go through what I went through and will still have to go through. So I was looking. I was talking with the sister one day and was looking at what she was going through, and I said, you know what? I know I won't be able to go through what you're going through. But God knows that. Even though I know the same God who took you through can take me through, I know we have different challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So just looking on the outside here saying, oh gosh, look what she's having to go through. Lord, you know I wouldn't be able to take that. And you can look at people and say things like that, but if you encounter the same situation, the same God who took you through will be merciful. And I heard you use that word, merciful enough to take me through as well. But because God has so ordained you to be who you are, unique in your own way. He knows when he made you how he was going to use you. He knew your purpose for this end time ministry.
Yes.
So no one can do, Sister Teresa, what God has assigned to your hand. And I tell people on an assembly line, each person has a certain part to do to make the whole product.
Mm-hmm.
But if I try to reach over and do what you're doing, I'm going to miss what I was supposed to be doing.
That's right.
There's a lot of comparison and jealousy in ministry today for those same reasons. I can't be jealous of you because you have your own Blog Talk show. Personally, I'm not cut out to do that. But I commend those who are doing it, and I thank God for you all. But God will withhold no good thing from you. He has so equipped you. The scars that you have all the things that caused your scars have made you to be the woman you are today.
They really have.
And there's some people who are waiting for their suddenlies,
mm-hmm.
but they may not be prepared. They may not be ready to receive what God has for them. And they need to know that. I had to know that. I thought I was ready for some things years ago. But then some situations came up, and I declare unto you in prayer, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me so softly. You see how you handled that situation today? You are not ready for what I have for you. But when you get good and ready, I will know, and you will know.
Yes.
And it's almost like giving a child, you know you bought this car for them, but you're not ready to release the keys yet?
Yes.
Okay. So how can we outsmart God?
Cannot.
On your job, your boss know where you fit in the best for that job. They've interviewed you and everything, so they know where to place you. God knows how to place his children to accomplish his purpose.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. So these are the type of things I talk about in And Suddenly. And it ministers to you where you are, on the level you are on. And I believe that's how God has so used me. So your husband might think I missed what he said, but I heard what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He told me just then, there are more books inside of you, and I grabbed that.
Yes.
But you see, I didn't ask for a prophecy. You see the difference?
Yes.
But God released that word to me. And I'm here to say that it is confirmation, because a lady ministered to me a few weeks ago, and she spoke that. And you know what I said? I said, Lord, no more books now. I'm tired.
Oh.
So you see how God works?
Yes.
The And Suddenly?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to go chasing a word.
Right.
So if somebody is listening to this segment right here at this moment, or if they, you know, replay it, I want them to see how the Holy Spirit operates. But we have to have an ear to hear what God is saying.
Yes.
And sometimes God can speak to you while you're driving. He can even speak to you while you're on your commode.
Yes, he will.
I'm telling
yes.
you.
Yes, hey, I know it. You don't got to tell. I know.
And you got to be willing to hear it and grab it.
Yes.
And I've experienced that so many times. Sometimes I have gotten one of the most profound words going in the bathroom or coming out.
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, oh, Lord, I want to write that down. I don't want to forget. I want to write that down. So just then, I'm just thankful that I had an ear to hear what God was saying through your husband.
Yes.
So, and suddenly I keep going back to that book, because I know that's a now word for somebody in that book. And God is just showing me, he's showing me how he operates even the more. I'm learning more and more about the way he operates and how to hear him speak.
Yes.
And he simplifies it. I mean, the Holy Spirit, I just appreciate the way he operates. And by me letting your husband know that I received what he said, when God speaks to him again, he will know of a surety that God spoke through him, or is using him to speak to others' lives.
Yes, and God uses him a lot to speak to people.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of had this discussion the other night, but God does use him a lot to speak to people, a prophetic word to people. And he says things, and the words that God gives him do not fall to the ground.
Wow.
Yeah,
just like Samuel, I tell you.
Yeah.
And I bless God, speaking a word of knowledge. You know, it's just, I just appreciate what God is doing, even in my life, because sometimes, and I'm going back to what you asked earlier about the familiar spirit. Now, when this lady said what she did the other day, it did come to me. I thought maybe she said that because she knew I write books. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying?
Right.
But I wrote it down because I know that if God spoke it, he will confirm it. And I got that.
Yes, amen.
Today.
And he will confirm it.
I thank God for the broadcast. Don't you ever think that what you're doing is in vain. Because I came on to minister and was ministered to in so many ways.
Amen.
Yes. So you continue to be encouraged. And I don't know how long we've actually been on here, on the program, but I can tell your listeners that we must study God's word. We must listen to what is being taught to know. We will know when error is being preached.
Yes.
The more you know about the word of God, the more of the word of God that you know, not just about, because I know about the president, I don't know him. I try to clarify that too.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to know what the word of God is saying, so there's less chance of being deceived.
That's right, and I like that when you say that. And I don't know how to stress it anymore that it's important to know the word of God.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to stress it anymore because the word of God is life. And if you don't know the word of God for yourself, people can come and tell you anything. And there's so many people that say things. And it's so funny because I posted this on my page one time and I was like, is this really in the Bible?
Mm.
You know, it sounds biblical, but it's not from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say things a lot of time. It says the Bible says this and the Bible says that. But
oh,
if you don't
right,
really
right.
know your Bible, you don't know whether it's in there or not. But because it sounds biblical,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're walking around quoting this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't say that. That's
right.
something that somebody took this scripture or took that scripture or took something that sounds scriptural and put it together and tried to make it a scripture. But it's not really a scripture.
And sometimes, if you say the Bible says, I take it and run with it.
Yes.
And then I start saying, well, yeah, you know, the Bible says such and such. It's what I heard you say.
Yeah.
So that comes back to the reality of knowing the word for yourself.
Knowing for yourself.
And even when we read it, I understand that God has people in place to help us. That's why he put teachers and these different gifts in the body to help equip us. Because just because we read, we may not get the full understanding. And I understand that. But what I am saying is the word, the way Satan used the word to Eve, sometimes you just got a put. You can put one or add one word or take away a word and change the whole meaning.
Yes. Yes.
So, we have to know the word for ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to quicken that word within us. And I do know that the Holy Spirit will bring the word back to our remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
I heard
yes,
somebody
he will.
Say, can't bring it back to your remembrance if you didn't put it inside of you. So your reading is not in vain. It's not in vain. What you're doing is storing. You are hiding that word in your heart. And the Holy Spirit will bring it back to our remembrance.
Yes.
And I thank him for what he's doing. We must be willing to hear the word, obey the word, and wait patiently.
Yes.
See the manifestation of what God wants to do in our lives. And sometimes we take on assignments that God didn't give us.
Oh, yes, that's the truth.
Yeah, so we have to wait on our assignment and get clarity to know. That's just like a soldier going to Iraq and the government didn't send him there.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to go to Germany.
Yeah, you all up in another assignment. It's not yours.
Yeah, we have to know what our assignment is and not get jealous over somebody else's assignment because it may look a little more prestigious than yours.
Amen.
For example, some people's assignment is to talk about finances.
Right.
Whereas mine is to talk about witchcraft in the church.
Right.
Now, that's not a popular assignment. Nonetheless, it was one assigned to my hands.
Exactly.
So there could be a tendency, oh, God, you gave me this. I want to go talk about finances. And just fall through the crack because I'm out of place. That was not my assignment. Even though I may know something about finances, that's not my assignment to go across the company talking about finances.
That's right. We got to know what we're called to do and do that and stay in place. Now, we have a few minutes left, and we have Bible Truth by Benny, Force 259, and my sister, Shirley, who is in the chat room who under Celestine, because that's her middle name, and they're in the chat room, and my husband on the line. If anybody has a question or comment in the chat room, would you please put it in the chat room so I can say it to Dr. Drayton and husband Gerald? Oh, let me get you. Hold on for a second.
Okay.
Okay, if you have a question or comment for Dr. Evelyn Drayton, you can feel free to give it to her.
Well, I just like the point that she makes about the importance of the scriptures, the Bible, if you will. A lot of times, even our prayers, I believe, and the Lord gave this to me as I was listening to Dr. Drayton, that he gave this to me. He said a lot of times we pray, and he doesn't answer because he's already answered it in his word. The prayers that we pray indicate to him we haven't read his word. We don't know the word. Because the prayer that we're praying, the answer is already in the word. It's almost like if someone gave you a math book with the answers in it, and then you go to them and say, can you tell me how much is 70 times 7? And they say, well, I just gave you a book that not only has the problem, but the answer. Go to the book and find the answer. And sometimes God is telling us, go to the book and find the answer. Because your prayer will not change the answer that's found in my word.
Amen, it won't.
All right. Wonderful.
And if you're praying in contrary to the word of God, I will either not answer you at all. And I believe in the Lord's telling me right now, that's why a lot of times he doesn't answer.
Contrary, that's right.
It is already stated in his word. Everything else we want to do, we want to have a shortcut to reading his word, so we'll go to somebody, we'll even go to God when he's already stated in his word many times over and over again, because most topics are precepts upon precepts, which means there's a whole lot of scriptures that are dealing with this particular issue that you're dealing with. Not just one that you got to search everywhere for the answer, but there are many scriptures that deal with the problem that you're now experiencing. So just the fact that you don't even know that, the answer to this question you're asking him indicates to him you haven't read the book. You haven't read the book. Go back and read the word. Then if you don't understand, come back to me and say, Lord, you wrote this, but I don't understand the full meaning or content of what you wrote or what you said in your word. And then he'll give you an answer quickly and concisely and accurately. But sometimes the Lord has told me, I'm not going to answer you. I'm not going to answer you because you haven't read it in the answer in the word already. This question you're asking, I've given an answer to 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago. I already gave the answer. But you want to do it the easy man's way and come to me about what I've already said 2,000 years ago.
My. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you. I have something in the chat room from Bible Truth by Benny. And he says, ask Dr. Drayton if she's ever had to warn someone about dealing with those with the Jezebel spirit, which some who say they are prophets seem to operate in.
I have been exposed to that spirit. As a matter of fact, it was a pastor. And it was very difficult to deal with that, because you want to be submissive and you want to respect and obey leadership. But I wrote the first book, I Had to Die Exposing Witchcraft in the Church, because it was being practiced and I had to expose what was going on, confronting the church. I was cast aside, ostracized, a lot of things I could have said to keep others from destruction. Some didn't want to hear because it was little old me bringing accusations, so to speak, against this powerful man everybody look up to, and I was looked at as the villain. But because I stood and obeyed God, I believe lives were spared. I was spared, but I had to acknowledge that I was in a position that was beyond my control. It was beyond my power. My hands weren't long enough to fight against the powers that were against me. But God made a way for me to escape. I'm still alive. I still tell people and warn them still about the powers of darkness operating in our churches even today. And I hope I didn't go too far or too long with that answer. But yes, I've had to confront people with the Jezebel spirit, even the Ahab spirit. They push other people up to do their dirty work,
mm-hmm.
while they stand and see how it's being received and the result of it. So some people specialize in hearts and eyes and foot and all of these different parts of the body, and it seemed like in the body of Christ, that's the area I've had most of my spiritual training.
Mhm. Amen. We do have a caller on the line, and this is 4259, who was in the chat room. He's on the line now. 4259, welcome to the broadcast.
It's been a minute. How are y'all doing today?
Fine. You disappeared from us.
I was in Hawaii. I was there for a while.
Okay.
I'm back in season and ready. I agree totally with your distinguished guest. The problem that I see in a lot of sanctuary, we've become one-sided. Everything seems to evolve around the pulpit and the preacher, when really that's not biblical. We're supposed to evolve around Jesus, not man, and Jesus don't evolve around us. We evolve around him. We're not the center of Jesus. Jesus is the center of our lives. He is the main deal. And what happened is people come into sanctuary and leave their brains outside the door and come in and be what we call passive spectators. You know, it bothers me that we don't operate in the gift. I love this platform. Everybody get a chance to share their views, because Jesus can use you. He can use your husband and this distinguished guest posting the chat room. But that's not the case in the household of faith. It's always centered around the preacher, like he has the answer to everything. And anything that he say goes, and all he's doing is messing a lot of people up, because Jesus is not the head corporately, man is. And we're seeing the fruits of it coming home, period. If you got a feet, the feet can't do it all. You got to have hands.
Right.
You got to have a shoulder. And I think the church started really functioning in a corporate way, far as allowing Jesus to move in each individual instead of be a one-man thing. We really start having church. We got to get out of the edifice mentality, because God won't dwell in no temple made by man's hands. No how. He dwells in you, me, everyone. So I love to see when you bring these shows on, evangelists, saints, and sharing their testimony, like the sister's saying today, contending with these evil spirits. We put these men in such a high place that the devil really occupies in places of authority. And the devil can use preachers if they're not careful.
That's right.
And I think when we start learning how to fellowship with one another, we won't treat the pastor and his wife like first class and start treating everybody else like second class citizens, when really there's only one first class, and that's Jesus, nobody else.
Mm.
So I think we got to get back to the New Testament church and start being the church. So we don't have all these little foolishness going on. I'm through with it.
Yeah. That's why I think it's good for us to go back and read the book of Acts. My husband, I don't know if we have an echo right here, but my husband did a study on the book of Acts, and it was an awesome study, and it was talking about the church and how the church actually operated back then. And there's so much stuff that we see nowadays is man-made. And Dr. Evelyn, I remember when she spoke on another broadcast, and she was talking about the witchcraft in the church. And that thing scared me so, just listening to how you were talking about how the witches came out. I'm talking about people in church.
Yes.
How the witches came out. And people do not address these issues for 259 because they're so busy lifting up the person. And, you know, and some of these pastors see people in their congregation, and you see that they're devils, and you see that they're coming in to cause dissension and strife and all kinds of wickedness. They're coming in there looking for people to, you know, they're on a prowl. You know, the devil is on the prowl. And instead of people casting out demons, they're letting the demons come right in and take over the church.
Yes. So
we're supposed to be casting them out. We're not supposed to be playing around with them.
Yeah. And I thank God for the caller. And, you know, I know people refer to scripture, honor to whom honor due. But when I went through the situation I did in church, my eye was open, my understanding was clearer, because looking unto man, we can put man on a pedestal so high. It's almost as if they can do no wrong. And when they do wrong and we see it, we won't call it out. And I know people refer to the scripture, love cover a multitude of sins. So I know that people will sometimes take scripture to define or justify some things or decisions that they make.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned, and I want to say the hard way, because I had to go against some of the things that I know is popular in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of kicked to the curb. I was looked at as a troublemaker. But truth started coming out. And others beside me knew that God was manifesting himself through me to help bring healing to the congregation. But they couldn't see it at the time. They were blinded.
Mm-hmm.
But truth brings revelation. And sometimes we have to wait to see the manifestation of that truth in the situation that we're dealing with.
Yes.
But
yes.
Again, I thank God, and I appreciate the question that came from the chat room. I appreciate the comment from your caller. And as you can see, Sister Teresa, what your assignment is very necessary, because even I am encouraged from hearing the caller.
Yes.
Hearing that Evelyn, you are on course, you are on task, and other people see it beside you. So that's a blessing to me. And God needs somebody to stand up and be those people, those soldiers he can count on to call it out like it is, to speak truth, even when you're not popular.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Ooh, the word was spoken over me, that the word that God put in your mouth, people are not going to like you. I'm already experiencing that anyway, so that's not going to be too hard to deal with.
Yes.
Anyway, and 4259, you're still on the line, but I had to mute you because it was feedback coming in. So I'm going to put your mic back on and see if you have anything to say. We do have about 10 minutes left, so if you have, I'm putting you back on the mic right now.
All right. Do you hear me? Is it still echoing?
No.
Okay. This is beautiful, and I pray that we get away from the traditional institutionalized mindset. A perfect example, believe it or not, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, but I don't bring it up because to me it's just a title. It doesn't make me and it doesn't break me. That's really something that we hung too much up on. I tell folks, get your eyes on Jesus. I'm not your focus. Jesus is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Don't get me something for me or my wife when you got someone who's sitting next to you who's in need. See what happens, people step on each other's head. The pastor. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. That we haven't learned the corporate of true fellowship among the saints. Perfect example, the Lord's Supper. Perfect example. The Lord's Supper has been turned into what I call a sad situation, when it's supposed to be a joyous occasion where we literally sit down and actually have a meal and fellowship with one another. The breaking of the bread, we turn it into something where the preacher officiates. Notice, everything always about the preacher, like he is the main head. Just like we look at the Pope, okay, we know anyone that is called a Pope or Archbishop, that's really a front to Jesus. No man belongs with that title but Jesus, period. Okay, who you are. It's just certain things you don't call a man a man. That belongs to Jesus. You don't call a man eminence. You don't call a man grace. You don't call him no Archbishop. You don't call him no Pope. That title reserved for the Most High Jesus, period. Period. It's almost a blasphemy to Jesus. It's like you're married to someone, but you take it on somebody else's name. I think your spouse would be very perturbed with you. Same way it is with Jesus. When he saves us, we call ourselves belonging to a denomination. What affront to him. Somebody asks someone, what church do you belong to? What do you mean, what church I belong to? I belong to Jesus. They will say something like this. I belong to apostolic. I belong to the Pentecostal. That is nothing more but a blasphemous, if not bordering, blasphemous statement. You're telling Jesus, I belong to something else when he died for you. You belong to the organization of man. And guess who's the head of that organization? Not Jesus, man. And I believe this is what birthed a lot of these witchcraft spirits and Jezebel, because it leads to that pride, spirit, that power. Want to be over folks, want to control folks. It's very abusive. It is malicious. It is vicious. And I've noticed wherever that spirit touched, it ruins things. So the more we come together as believers, as your distinguished guest was saying, we expose the enemy for what it is. And, of course, you're going to be a troublemaker because you're not going along with this program today, which is not biblical. None of this is biblical. There's no such thing called paid salary. No one can find that in the Bible because there's no such thing. That came up underneath the Constantine rule. You give to a preacher because you want to give to them. That's something you want to do, but you're not mandatory. But what we are mandatory to do is what we're doing right now. Love one another, admonish one another, not just the preacher, admonish one another, be there for one another, be a help to one another. And like what you're doing, you're encouraging people, whether it hurts or not, you're still out there telling folks, hey, I have a guest today that can shed some light on this dark stuff that's going on, because the testimony of wounded spirit from this very spirit that you're talking about, Jezebel, is breathtaking. The ruin of marriages, families that are done by the hands of a pastor. Pastors destroy more marriages than they do helping marriages because people give that authority to the preacher.
Mm-hmm.
That preacher don't belong in such a position. The wife is subjected to the husband, not the pastor. This is for no negotiation. This is for no negotiation. When the preacher counsels both the husband and the wife, it seemed like the husband and the wife put their thinking cap down. They don't think no more. Everything you say is right, Pastor. You're right. And the pastor in the back is not saying, I don't even know if this thing going to work. I'm just saying, but you're going according to what I say. This is crazy. Man, church folks, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to get off this line. Church folks, if you're not prayerful, you want your marriage to be ruined, it'll be done quicker with a preacher and these so-called churches quicker than a person at a tavern somewhere. And that's just the truth.
Mama.
Because this stuff don't even look like Jesus. None of this is of Jesus. None of it is. Because if it was, why are we having all these people fleeing out the back doors? Why are people starting to go back to home churches again? Because folks really, really are hungry for intimacy with Jesus again. They don't have time to mess with all this institutionalized situation. People are starting to wake up. Even when folks dress up on Sundays, the reason why they dress on their Sunday best is to hide their mess. And everybody lied to each other, come on, honey. And just two hours ago, they argue with each other and then come into church to pretend. Everybody just pretend. The preacher pretend in front of you. This person pretend to let everybody know, I am living that great life in the Lord. As soon as they walk out that door, they go right back to arguing. So it creates an atmosphere where we can't be honest and real with one another. Say, hey, could you pray for me? We don't have it like that. That's real church. Until we learn to really learn to love and establish that fellowship with one another, like the book of Acts said, everything was common among one another, means there was no one greater than no one. And the Bible said anyone that is greatest ought to be the servant of them all, because that's the only way you're going to serve Jesus, through one another. And what you're doing here, believe it or not, you're serving people, you, your distinguished guest, and your husband, and whoever's in the chat room. So this is a blessing. The more people wake up to what's going on, they realize that we've come a long way, the wrong way, when it comes to these institutional churches. I'm through with it.
Amen. Dr. Dre, and we have a little more than 3 minutes left. We have about 3 minutes left. So,
I am really excited about what I've heard. I have been strengthening my muscles. I'm pumping muscles today. I wouldn't mind having the contact information for your caller, because there are some questions I probably would like to talk with him about. But I'm just excited for what God is doing. I came on here for one purpose, but as you see, God had a plan.
Yes.
I thank him for all that came out in the discussion. I thank God for the word that came through your caller, because my eyes are open to even more. I'm encouraged to stand on what I know.
Amen.
Even though people will sometimes try to, I would say, shut you up. When the man was calling Jesus and they try to make him shut up, and he called the louder.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to do in these last days, because for what we know and for what your caller shared, we're the ones that people want to shut up.
Yes.
But we must talk even the louder and let the people know the relationship with Jesus is what matters, because we have so put people on pedestals and pushed. The more we do that, the more we push Jesus on the back burner.
That's right.
But I thank God for this program today. I thank God for you for giving me this opportunity. I have truly been blessed, and I thank God for this session. My life is not the same, and I pray whoever hears this broadcast that God has some people set aside that are going to hear what he's saying in these last days.
Amen. And like I said to you before we went on the air, I am going to upload this and put it on Spreaker. So it can be heard over there as well. Now, Force 259, Dr. Drayton would like to get in touch with you. Is it okay if I give your information to her in email?
Certainly. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yes, certainly. That number that I've given you in the past, it was changed when I went over to Hawaii. I was there for a while. That's why it seemed like I fell off the map. We didn't forget you. I just was gone for a minute on assignment. I'm
okay.
Back. But this is the new number. This is the new number.
The 980.
Yes. And do you have my email address?
No, I don't.
I will go in the chat room. If not, you can call me after the show.
I'll have to call you after the show because it's going to, the chat room's going to close out in about 40 seconds.
Call me right after the show then.
All right then. I'll do that, and then we'll, you know, give Dr. Drayton your information. All right, so we just thank God for this broadcast on tonight. We look forward to coming together again on Friday if the Lord says the same. And, you know, I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but whatever the Lord says is fine with me. Thank you so much, Dr. Drayton. Everybody, if you can, go to Amazon.com and check out her books, and also go to www.EvelynDrayton.org, and you can look at her website and see what other books that she has to offer. It's been a blessing. It's been a pleasure. Good night, Bible Truth by Benny. And my sister, she dropped off the line. She's at work. Anyway, so thank you to my husband, my constant companion, for being with me on tonight as well. God bless you each and every one. And Evelyn Drayton, we will be speaking with you shortly.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Good night, everybody. My husband said good night.
Night.
Say it again, Gerald.
Night. All right. I heard you. Good night.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Amen.